the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father Charles Trexler of blessed memory, used to love to preach here at Emmanuel on Christmas morning. And the reason for that, the chief reason, is that he loved the appointed gospel reading for today, Christmas morning. It's from the first chapter of St. John. And I believe that all of us here at Emmanuel particularly love St. John the Evangelist, because here he is, right there. He is part of our magnificent rear altar, called the rear doss. He's the figure on the right. There we have Moses on the left with the Ten Commandments, Jesus our Lord in the center, and John the Evangelist there on the right. He has a quill pen in his right hand and an eagle at his feet. The eagle is his symbol. It distinguishes him from the other evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's an eagle because the church has always felt that the Gospel of John is somehow the most elevated, the most abstract of the Gospels. And many preachers love to preach on St. John. So that's what I'm going to do. Here is my text, this glorious golden text, right at the start of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. To help enjoy this text, I want to borrow a line from a great old English commentator by the name of Matthew Henry. It said something like this: He, that is Jesus Christ, is appointed the author of our bliss, who was first of all the author of our being. Bliss and being. Bliss means happiness, our salvation. He is the author of our bliss, who is first of all the author of our being. Matthew Henry is lifting up the point that our God is both great and good. He's good. He's the Savior. Unto us is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. But also he is great. He is the author of our being. He has plenty of strength in order to take care of us. So, two parts to the sermon. Jesus Christ is the author of our being, and Jesus as the author of our bliss. When you work your way through the first chapter of St. John, this is the conclusion we reach, that a baby born 2,000 years ago in a stable is the author of our being. Now, that's a strange thought. There are plenty of good folks walking by the sidewalks of Emmanuel Lutheran Church on their way to brunch, to grandmother's house, to many good things, and they don't think about the idea that a baby, a Jewish baby born 2,000 years ago, is the author of their being, that they exist because he would have them exist. That's the bottom line. They live because this baby born 2,000 years ago desires them to live, does not want this world to be without them. And it's no wonder that the passerbys do not much reckon with this idea, because it is a strange one now, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing to think that another human being can influence our life, but to be the author of our life, well, that's a higher order thought. Think back to our Christmas pageant. If you were here, it was great, it was magnificent. Now, if you were here, think back to the Holy Family. they were sitting here. Baby Jesus was played by a little guy, 1 year old. His name was Tiden. Tiden, they call him Ty. And his brother, 2 years older, named Dash, was also part of the scene. And then Amy and John were Mary and Joseph. That was the Holy Family. I was entirely charmed by it, entirely enchanted by it. So little Ty, who was baby Jesus, sat there contentedly in the arms of Mary, his mother, for a while, until he got a bit restless. Then he stood up in her lap and kind of looked around at all the other elements of the pageant. You know, the angels and the wise men and the shepherds and the sheep. We had these fantastic costumes that Gwen provides us. So he would stand up and kind of look around at that. Then when he'd get bored with that, he stood up and he began to caress the face of his mother. He did things like babies do, and that's how I want you to think of Jesus. Baby Jesus, he was a baby. He did the things that babies do. And yet he is the author of our being. Now, last night, in the great Christmas Eve liturgy, by the way, we had 307 people at that liturgy last night. I think that was the highest we've had in all my years. During that liturgy, we heard the wonderful story of the birth of Jesus, born of Mary, born in a stable. There was no room for them in the inn. We heard about the shepherds. I love that story with all my heart. But now we're at St. John. And St. John kind of looks at that same story, but from his own point of view, his elevated point of view. And his theme is that a baby, and we know about babies, a baby born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem is the author of our being. The way St. John does this is he connects this baby Jesus with the Word of God. And he does it by way of his great saying, "And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us." St. John says of Jesus that he existed before he was born. Now, that's not true for any of us. None of us are the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity. None of us existed before we were born. But St. John teaches that Jesus existed before he was born. How long before he was born? Well, long, long before he was born. In fact, he was in the beginning, because the Word was in the beginning. Before there was earth and sky, the fish and the birds, the dinosaurs, the Big Bang, anything, there was God and his Word, very intimately connected. Just as your words are very intimately connected with your heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was through this Word that everything was made, and continues to exist at this very moment. And this Word, as St. John teaches, is this baby. This baby who grew up to be an adolescent and a young man and a man of faith and integrity and love, who ended up surrendering his very life that you and I might live. So that's St. John's great theme, that we live at all is the desire of this child. God made the world through his Word, and this Word is Christ. And again, to use a line from dear old Matthew Henry, which kind of expresses the intimacy between God and his word. Matthew said something like this: God created everything, not as a woodsman picks up his axe and makes something, but rather as the body sees with the eye, that intimate connection. God made all that is through his word, as a body sees with its eye. Now that's the first theme. Jesus Christ, this baby we celebrate on Christmas, is the author of our being. Now to the other theme. He's also the author of our bliss. The third Sunday of Advent, just a few Sundays ago, is called Rejoice Sunday. And the reason for that is because the appointed epistle reading for the day is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it includes this verse that says, rejoice always. Now, this is an apostolic exhortation that is part of a long, beautiful sequence of exhortations. St. Paul says, for example, be patient with the weak. Uplift the faint-hearted. Exhort the idler. Do not return evil for evil. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Now, many of those things in that scene commands are the kinds of things that are done in due season. I mean, if there are no idlers around, if everybody's working hard, then there's no need to exhort people not to be idlers. And if there are no faint-hearted people around, if everybody's doing well, hale and hearty, then you can just put that exhortation away until it's needed. But there is no limitation on this other exhortation. Rejoice always, always. Rejoice always, in season and out of season. Now, things are variable in life. I mean, we are built for joy. I mean, think of little children. They go skipping down the sidewalk. It's an inefficient way, it wastes energy, but we're just kind of built for joy, and children seem to think to themselves, energy, who cares about that? It's there to be burned. And give us half a chance, we'll be happy. Many of you grew up to be beautiful. Many of you grew up to be handsome. Many of you grew up to have great careers. Many of you grew up to have strong bodies. But all of this is kind of fickle. It's unreliable. It can't be the basis of a rejoicing always, because it just isn't stable enough. I think that what St. Paul is saying when he says rejoice always is let that be your fundamental slant on Christmas. The birth of Jesus as a Savior unto us means that life is good. Never lose your feel for that. Never let anything deprive you of the notion that reality is fundamentally good. And if you're suffering now, it will not last. It is bound to be overcome by joy. That's why our Christmas carols inevitably just seem so happy. Joy to the world. Good Christian friends, rejoice. They're just happy. And that's because that's the slant on reality that St. Paul wants us to have. Never let anybody deprive you of the joy of Christmas, because that joy is the fundamental foundation for the exhortation to rejoice always. Rejoice that unto us is born this day a Savior. who is Christ the Lord, the author of our being, the author of our bliss, and to whom belongs the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.